Let's pray together. God, through song, we have invited you to be our vision, to be our center. We are invited to be steadfast because you are steadfast. Through scripture, we have been invited to meditate on you, on your words, day and night, to let them sink deeply into our beings. And so, Jesus, be the center this morning. Thank you that you are present with us. Thank you that your word is alive and powerful. May it be a refreshment to our souls and an encouragement to us on this day. Amen. So how was your thought life this past week? Hans is a big smile. For those of us who have been following along with the sermon series, have you been able to pause throughout your day to take captive every thought for Jesus? We have some reminders up on the board, on the screen. How are you doing thinking more about the things that bring you peace and the things that bring you joy? The more of these, the less of those. Last week we spoke about our thoughts about ourselves and God's thoughts about us. What are you doing to implement that reminder that you are beloved of God into your day? Are there other practices that you have been joining in on in this series to keep our thoughts focused in on the things of God? Personally, I am finding this series really, really helpful. It's been a great reminder, and it's been prompting me throughout my days and really to think more about these things and less about those things, and to keep my mind and heart focused on the things of God, the beautiful things of God. And together we are memorizing, if you've joined in, we're memorizing Philippians 4:8, or as a youth have captured this as Phil 48. So let's say it together. Wazir's going to put it up on the screen. Let's say it together. Finally, beloved. Think about such things. So I know just by observing you that some have memorized this and some are in the process of memorizing it because all of our eyes did not go up to the screen. So every Sunday, Ellen or the children's leaders invite kids to say a verse they've memorized. Is anybody wanting to share in this adult? No takers. Okay. The great thing is Ellen gives out earthly treasures. So when the kids say their memory verse like perfectly, they get to go to the earthly treasures box, which I think is quite fun. So they get a little toy or something that they can enjoy for that week. It's a good verse to memorize. It's a good verse to go through when we're going through our day and facing and encountering the things that we are. In Matthew 6, Jesus urges his followers to move away from the habit of worrying. Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Today, we're going to apply the seek first principle to the beginning of our day. We're going to examine the value of beginning our day with our thoughts focused on God. And throughout this message, I'm going to be weaving in several blessings and prayers that offer different expressions of hope and of surrender as we begin to turn our attention to God and away from the demands of the day that are waiting for us. Starting the day with prayer was always very important to the early Christians, and their prayers often invoked the presence of the Trinity, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit to be with them throughout their days, and their days that were often filled with hard an exhausting physical labor. And so the prayers that I'm going to be weaving throughout this morning are prayers based on what the early church might have expressed as they welcome God to be the center of each new day. And I will be sending these prayers out in an email this week as a reminder, but I have found them to be prayers that I have been using in my own life over the past couple weeks. Something I always say is that I try really hard not to invite you to do a practice that I myself am not practicing. And so it's been really beautiful to read these prayers, to be centered in on these prayers in the morning. Studies show that we often have a less cluttered mind in the morning. And each morning, we are given the opportunity to enter from sleep into stillness before God, where author Tommy Newberry writes, we can pour everything into God in the morning. I'm going to invite you to follow along on the screen if you would like, or just to receive this morning blessing. Think of waking up first thing. May the whisper of the Father be the one that wakens you. The open hand of the Son be the one that raises you. The prompting of the Spirit be the one that sends you this morning and all mornings and leads you safely home. Beginning each new day by focusing our thoughts on the things of God aligns with the ways of God. Scripture reminds us that each new day, God renews his faithfulness to us. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 reads, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. A morning routine, waking up with thoughts of God's attention to God, also aligns with the practices of Jesus. Many of us here this morning would acknowledge that our days are full. Full of life-giving relationships, full of tasks, full of responsibilities, and also full of things that possibly drain us. At our last congregational meeting, one of the themes that came up quite a few times was how we might develop practices or tools in our own lives that will lead us deeper into our faith beyond Sunday mornings. So ways that we can grow in our faith and allow it to become richer and fuller throughout our days. Jesus lived a very, very full life. I always think it's important to name this. Jesus wasn't sedentary. Jesus wasn't always in the posture of being bowed down and in a place of stillness. His days were full. Some of us can relate to fullness of days. So Jesus spent his days engaging with people, healing, teaching, leading. He went from town to town, from town to town. And yet within the fullness of his days, he sought to keep a balance, to spend time of refreshment with God while going about this ministry that he was called to. In Mark 1, we read about a very full day of Jesus' life and how he prepared himself for the following day. I'm reading from Mark 1. It says, in the evening, as the sun went down, so we're talking about the end of the day. In the evening, when the sun went down, the people took all who were sick to Jesus. They took those who had demons to him. All the town gathered at the door. Jesus healed those who were sick of many kinds of diseases. He put out many demons. I love that God has given us the ability to use our imaginations to create pictures or images in our minds. So I'm going to invite you to create a picture of this scene. When you hear that the people took all who were sick to Jesus, what scene do you imagine? Picture Jesus. The people took all who were sick to Jesus. How many people do you imagine were brought to Jesus? What do you imagine the experience was like for those who were brought to Jesus and those who were there? And what do you imagine the experience was like for Jesus? I picture many, many people being brought to Jesus. I picture many hands being raised out to him saying, pick me, see me, I need to be healed. I hear parents pleading with Jesus that it would be their child that would be healed on that day. And demons being released? I can't quite imagine what that sound was, but it would not have been a sweet offering to her ears. I imagine it being quite an agonized sound. So I picture many people, much confusion, many voices, and this agonizing sound. And on this day, I imagine that all of Jesus' energy was taken from him. He gave it all, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I know, and we can know, that Jesus is full of love and full of desire to bring people to wellness and wholeness. And so I also imagine what his heart was feeling like that day if he was surrounded by all the people in that town. Talks about them even being outside the door of the place where Jesus was. Imagine what Jesus was feeling like inside in this experience that he was facing. From scripture, we do know that Jesus slept after this very full day. We can imagine his fatigue. I wonder if the people left or if Jesus had to sneak away to a room somewhere to sleep or even to leave that home. And as I was looking at prayers this week, I found a prayer that I wondered if Jesus might have said as he found his way to sleep that night. And it's a prayer that we could say at the end of our day. Again, it's on the screen. A prayer for the end of our day. I lay my head to rest, and in doing so, lay at your feet the faces I have seen, the voices I have heard, the words I have spoken, the hands I have shaken, the service I have given, the joys I have shared, the sorrows revealed. I lay them at your feet, and in doing so, lay my head to rest. Amen. Mark 1 continues. In the morning, before the sun was up, Jesus went to a place where he could be alone. He prayed there. Imagine this, Jesus alone, he is praying. Simon and the others looked for Jesus. His morning was interrupted. I like us to know this because our mornings get interrupted. When I'm speaking to us, I'm not trying to make you believe that your morning is to be so slow and without interruption and nothing pops up into your day. In Jesus' world, he went early in the morning to pray, and the people found him there. They found him and they said, "All the people are looking for you." And so his day begins again. What all is waiting for you at the beginning of your day? All the people are looking for you. Jesus said to the followers, "Let us go to the towns near here so I can preach there also. That is why I came." And so he went through Galilee, he preached in their places of worship, and put out demons. And so we see that already in the morning, people were vying for Jesus' attention. He was needed. He was wanted. People were calling his name. Who calls your name in the morning? What is seeking to draw your attention in? We don't know what Jesus prayed that morning, but I want us to listen into this morning prayer that I believe aligns with what Jesus might have spoken as he had this time set aside with God that morning. I do not fear this day, for you are with me wherever I might go. Your light to shine ahead, your footsteps to lead the way. I do not fear this day, for your word will be my guide. Your strength will sustain me, your love revive me. This day and all day, I do not fear this day, for you are with me. Something we learn about Jesus in this passage is that he woke up early and he went to a place where he could be alone. I read into this passage that Jesus was intentional about beginning his day so that he could stay on course and walk in what God had called him to do instead of first being pulled off by the needs of others. His first attention went on God before it was pulled off to the needs of others. How do you currently start your day? There is no judgment in this question. It is simply an invitation. I am not a morning person. I'm surprised that Terry hasn't quite stood up yet and said, "Where are you going with this message, Catherine?" So I am not a morning person at all. I do not jump out of bed eager to start the day. I prefer a very slow start with few interactions. Sometimes I say to Jordan, "Let's not talk for half an hour, Jordan." And for many years, I started my day with a groan. I started with too many hits of the snooze button that led us into a place of hurry and rush and often agitation. My family would correctly say that I am not my best self in the morning. A few... Amen, says Jordan. If you don't know, this is my son. He's amening all the way through the message. A few years ago, I read an article that spoke about blessing, offering a blessing at the beginning of the day, as soon as we open our eyes. So to thank God for the simple things that are already there. Thank God for the gift of a warm bed, of shelter, of sleep that brought rest. Just to be thankful for that. Thank God for his presence with you through the night, that you have breath for the morning. You can take a moment to offer thanksgiving for each person in your home, for family, for friendship groups, or for those of us that join together for church. The article also encouraged the reader to smile from their bed before they get out of bed. And that has been a practice that I have actually assumed, that in my grumpy state, I just lay there and I smile. And it makes such a difference. It's a simple, simple task. But we begin the day by pausing and saying, "I will welcome joy." I admit to not practicing the full practice of Jesus' model to us. So I don't rise early and I don't go outside of my house to a quiet place. But most mornings, from the comfort of my bed, I listen to a daily podcast that gives me a daily Lectio Divina. So it is a guided prayer through a scripture. So my mind before I wake up is focused on a scripture and focused on some questions to me. The scripture is read over me, and I'm guided to listen really closely to what is being spoken. There are many, many tools that we can use in the morning and throughout our day. So that's how I often begin my day. And through making the positive changes that I have done over the last couple years, honestly, my posture and my thought life in the morning has changed dramatically. And so I have a more peace-filled attitude. I don't have kind of this, like, give me this much space in my first minutes, hours of the day. And so I invite us to try something new in the morning to focus our thoughts in on God. In my reading this week, I found a blessing for each new day, which I think offers us a really purposeful way to start our day. It says, "Bless this day, this blank page newly turned. May its story once written bring only glory to your name." I love that. Bless this day, this blank page newly turned. And just like God's faithfulness is new every morning, so we can have a new sense of faithfulness towards God as we begin each day. We can also use Philippians 4:8 as a guide, this verse that is guiding our minds towards thinking like God. And we can use that in our first 15 minutes of our day. So I'm going to specifically talk about this first 15 minutes of our morning and using it to glorify God, to set our thoughts on God as a foundation of our day. So why 15 minutes? They say that 15 minutes has proven to be long enough to make a palpable difference. What you do first thing in the morning, it sets the emotional tone for the rest of your day. Author Tommy Newberry writes, "Each moment is a mental sunrise, a new beginning and fresh opportunity to become who God desires us to be." So we have been reminded this morning of God's faithfulness, that it is new every morning, and that Jesus was intentional about beginning his day in God's presence. And continuing on with Scripture as our reference, we're going to see that many of the psalmists began their days meeting with God. So I'm going to read a few passages from Psalms. Psalm 143. And remember, this is the psalmist speaking. So these would be the words that we can speak to God in the morning. "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. A practice that we can do is just to be in prayer and to listen to God speak words of love as we practiced last Sunday. From Psalm 90, "Fill us in the morning with your loving kindness. Let us sing for joy and be glad all our days. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and make the work of our hands stand strong. Yes, make the work of our hands stand strong." The psalmist here is identifying, though hundreds of years ago, that work calls us. So we arise and many of us go into a work day. And the psalmist is asking God to make the work of their hand valuable and strong as they are filled with God's loving kindness. From Psalm 5, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness." A prayer or a psalm that was written after scripture that we might begin our day with is this: "I arise today, embraced in the arms of God the Father, empowered by the strength of God the Spirit, immersed in the love of God the Son. I arise today in the company of the Trinity, Father, Spirit, and Son. I arise today." As part of this series on our thought life, we have looked at some guiding questions. And the questions offered to us are not yes or no questions. They're one that we're invited to answer with content from our life. And so the questions are inviting us to look at our thought life, to look at our routines, and to see if there's any opportunities for renewal or refreshment. And so on the screen are some questions that we can use to think about in the first 15 minutes of our day. So I'm going to read each question, and I'm just going to add a little bit of space in between them so you can begin to form your answer. What can I read, watch, or listen to during the first 15 minutes I'm awake? What should I avoid reading, watching, or listening to in the first 15 minutes of my day? What could I tell myself the instant I wake up every morning? What should I avoid telling myself the instant I wake up? How could I intensify my gratitude in the first 15 minutes of my day? How could I use prayer and scripture? And how could I use Philippians 4:8 as a guide for the beginning of my day? I don't know which questions are easier for you to answer. Susanna was a great intro this morning of like this ability to press reset when our thoughts aren't maybe going the way that we had hoped for. So what should I avoid reading, watching, or listening to first thing in the day? My emails, right? So I'm really trying not to pick up my phone first thing and read my emails right away before I do a focus on God. I want to listen to maybe a worship song instead of the radio and the news of that day, just to begin my day. What should I avoid telling myself the instant that I wake up? I'm not capable. I'm not going to be able to do this. Oh, today's going to be way too busy. I don't think I want to start it. Like, those are things that we want to avoid telling ourselves at the beginning of our day and focusing on what is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable. Those are things that we're invited to start our day with. One of the questions in there was, how can I intensify my gratitude in the first 15 minutes of my day? So how could we intensify our gratitude? This question actually gave me pause. I don't think of gratitude as being something I intensify. And in his book, The 4:8 Principle, Tommy Newberry defines two different kinds of gratitude that have been helpful for me to use in my daily life. He talks about routine gratitude, which is what he calls very ordinary, quite a reactive gratitude that feels sincere at the time but hasn't penetrated our hearts. So this could be something like, thank you for holding the door open, or you give a little wave to someone who lets you in line in the traffic. I'm doing that a lot as our area is under construction right now. Might be thank you for passing me the salt or for loaning me a pen. It's a genuine thank you, but it's not something that penetrates into our hearts. Newberry talks about an exceptional gratitude, which is gratitude that is consistent with the Philippians 4:8 principle. And he suggests using Philippians 4:8 as a guide to our gratitude, to dwell on what's good. So when being thankful for a person, we name the things that are true, that are lovely, that are commendable about them. And when giving thanks for a day, we want to dig in and name the things that we expect that will be excellent and pure. When giving thanks for the goodness of God in our lives, we want to pause. We want to reflect. And then we want to offer in thanksgiving things that are praiseworthy. I'm really drawn to this discipline of exceptional gratitude, as it both enlarges and it enriches the blessing of the people and the experiences of my day. So when I thank someone, as a practice, I try to be very specific in what I'm thankful for. I don't want to say thanks for helping, which is a good thing to say thank you for, but I want to name why I'm thankful for how they have been offering help. I think this is important because it takes us into a deeper experience of really examining the ways and the people within our lives and then naming the goodness of them. And it helps us, and I also believe it becomes an encouragement to others. If you are a parent, you might want to spend the first minute just thinking about the good and the lovely and the pure things about your children before you meet with them in that day. Starting our day with God, it's a meaningful way for our spiritual growth and for our well-being. It really does set the tone for the rest of our day, and it helps us to stay centered on the things that God invites us into and to be present to. It sets our pace for the day. So by beginning your day with God, we invite the Holy Spirit in to guide our thoughts, to guide our words and our actions, and to give us strength and wisdom for the challenges that may come. It is also just a way to express our gratitude for all that God has done and all that he will do within our lives. So this week, each of us is invited to pay attention to how we begin our days, how we might incorporate time in the morning, focusing our thoughts, our words, our attitudes, and our actions on God. I encourage us each to try this 15-minute rule, or maybe you can begin with 5 minutes or 1 minute. But I encourage us all to start, even just with a smile from your pillow before you get out of bed. Let's pray together. God, we are thankful that your faithfulness is new every morning. Jesus, we are thankful that you model to us that in the fullness, the very fullness of your days, that you took time set aside to spend time with God. God, thank you that you invite us into practices that will move us into understanding, into gazing at you, into dwelling on you and your ways. God, for any of us who might be saying, "Ugh, you just don't have a clue how full my days are," may we return to the story of Jesus when all the people who were sick were brought to him. God, may we be able to speak to you about our fatigue, about our tiredness even before the day begins. And would you sustain us and bless us on our journey? May we be your people of hope and courage. Amen.
Please stand with us as we do our last song.